Welcome to the Threefold Real Estate Investing Podcast. This is the podcast where you'll not only learn how you can achieve massive success in multifamily real estate investing, but also how you can simultaneously pursue great relationships with your family and a better walk with God. You can achieve financial freedom through real estate investing without sacrificing the relationships that mean the most to you. Now, here's your host, Lee Yoder.
Welcome back, Threefold listeners. Been a long time. As I talked about on the last podcast episode I did, we kind of wound down the podcast a little bit, and I'm not doing weekly interviews with guests, but instead just jumping on from time to time to update you on what's going on at Threefold. Or, you know, I think sometimes I'd like to do like some solo podcast episodes where I'm just talking about what's going on in the market, what we're seeing, what we're trying to do. Maybe just some educational stuff, but this time I've got my beautiful wife Hannah joining me again, and I like to bring her on because she's really good at asking questions, and it's fun having her on the podcast with me. And often I've brought her on to ask questions about a new deal that we've just done, and that's what we're doing today. We just bought a 96-unit apartment building a couple weeks ago, kind of new in a lot of ways. So I need Hannah here to help me discuss this one. So Hannah, welcome. Thanks for coming.
Thanks. Thanks for having me again.
Absolutely.
To get started, let's kind of back up a little bit. And before you purchased it, explain kind of where Threefold was, where the business was, where your mindset was before this was even presented to you.
Yeah, I think I've discussed this before. Well, yeah, because I guess when you and I talked about North Dayton, and I think we said, you know, during that podcast episode that we really were thinking we probably weren't going to purchase anything the rest of the year. We were really focusing on bringing our property management in-house. Right. We had four properties. We sold two this summer. So we were down to two properties, a 95 and a 96 unit. And we used third-party management. That's going pretty well, but I was getting more and more interested in really changing my mindset behind property management. We were thinking about bringing those two in-house. Then we got North Dayton, kind of came out of nowhere. We got a seller financing opportunity that just made the deal make a lot of sense, and we got really excited about it. So we bought that about 6 months ago. We've been managing that for these 6 months. That's going well. But again, once we got that, I was like, okay, so that came out of nowhere, but we're probably not buying anything else the rest of the year. Let's just focus on building out the property management company, bringing in our, we've got, you know, our third property we're already managing. Let's bring the other two in-house, and that's all we'll do for the rest of the year. And then this one came kind of out of nowhere as well.
Funny how that happens.
Yeah, another seller financing opportunity. Kind of like there's a weird connection with North Dayton, the 64 unit that we bought 6 months ago. Like, because we bought that, like that's what brought this 96 unit up. So just a lot of things. But yeah, where Threefold was that we were just really focused on building a property management company. We started with just a 64 unit. That we bought 6 months ago, and then we were going to bring the other two in. That was the focus, and I was really not spending much time at all on acquisitions and trying to get another property. It was like, this really isn't a great time to buy because interest rates are so high and prices are still high, and you know, rent growth has slowed and really stopped. So it just didn't feel like there were any good deals out there. So the focus was just, you know, internal on property management, building that company,
right?
Not acquiring more.
Okay, so how did this even come about? Was it off market, on market? How did you find this deal?
Yeah, you know, a broker had it. So it's not like we went direct to seller, but it really was not marketed at all. There was a broker trying to sell it. And instead of putting it on market and listing it at all, he was just calling a few guys, like his few, you know, kind of most trusted buyers. And one of those happened to be the guy that we just bought from. So the guy that we bought the 64 unit from 6 months ago, he's bought a lot of deals with this broker. So this broker brings him this 96 unit deal. Well, the guy we just bought from is 72 years old, and he sold us his last property. So he's out of the game, trying to get out of the game, and he is out of the game. And he looked at it, he thought about it, and he said, nah, you know, and so he called me and said, Lee, you know, if I was 10 years younger, I would totally do this deal. It's a great deal, but I need to stop. I need to get out of the game. He spends half the year in Florida. So he said, you need to go look at this deal. Well, I said, okay, you know, I'm always up for looking at deals. I'm a deal junkie. I love underwriting, love looking at stuff. So I said, well, I'll look at it, but I'm sure it's not a good deal. But the more we looked into it, the more we thought it was a good deal. And a huge part of that was right away, the seller was saying that he was willing to do seller financing, just like this guy had done on our 64 unit about 6 months ago. So Yeah, came out of nowhere just through connections, through the last deal we bought. A lot of times that happens. That's why people talk about the law of the first deal, or just, you know, how you can build momentum. And that's exactly what happened. It's because we closed this 64 unit that, I mean, if we hadn't, we, there's no way I would have ever heard about this 96 unit. But
right. Okay, so it's a 96 unit outside of Lima, Ohio. Tell me about the location and what did the location mean to you kind of personally and then also for the business?
Yeah, Lima is an hour north of North Dayton. So we have two properties up in North Dayton, one northeast, one northwest. But this property, and so those two properties are almost an hour, probably about 50 minutes from where we live. And, you know, our director, James, like where he lives. So anytime we go to those two properties, it's 50 minutes. Well, this property is another hour beyond that. So this is by far the farthest away we've ever bought. And we really, you know, since you and I started with a flip here in Lebanon, and then we got the duplex here in Lebanon, like we've always been local. We've always been very hands-on driving to our property. So this is still absolutely drivable. It's under 2 hours. So it's not anything crazy, but it is the farthest away. And because we're so hands-on and because we knew right away, we're going to manage this ourselves.
Right.
It's only the second property we've ever managed. That felt like kind of a risk. Did you feel like it was a risk?
A bit. Yeah.
So that was like, okay, well, you know, because that's kind of the neat thing about third-party management is if you pick a property management company that has several properties in Lima, then it's like, well, this is easy for them because they're right there.
Right.
So who cares that we're 2 hours away? Now, we still like to go to the property even when we're not the property managers, but when you are the property managers, you're definitely going to the property a lot.
Right.
And so, yeah, it just felt like there was some risk there and the fact that it was just farther away than anything we've bought before.
Okay. So risk involved for sure. Possibly putting a lot of miles on our car.
Yeah.
Going back and forth. So how did you kind of get over that? What convinced you that this was still a good idea?
Yeah. You know, really unique. And it felt like, you know, as often as the case for us, Hannah, like it just felt like a God thing that God was like maybe leading us in this direction because like two and a half years ago, I met three guys up in Lima. And then I met a fourth one. So it's really four guys. Met four guys up in Lima, Christian guys, just really hit it off with them, you know, developed a great relationship. We've been having lunch every once in a while. And then we went to the Best Ever conference together. I shared a room with two of them. I got my own bed, but they shared that. But got really close to them during that experience. You know, when you share a room with two other guys, you get pretty close. So we developed this relationship and they are investors, they're realtors, they're brokers. They've done some property management and they've just started getting into some multifamily. They actually bought a small mobile home park, was kind of their first syndication. And so they're getting us and they've been telling me like, Lee, we want to do more of what you're doing. We want to get into like bigger apartment buildings, you know, 40, 60, 80, 100 unit apartment buildings. They were just saying, if we could ever partner on something, that would be awesome. Well, when I find something that they're from Lima, again, live in Lima, invest in Lima, all that. So when I find something just outside of Lima, I'm like, I got to at least tell these guys about it and let's just see what happens. Well, they were really anxious to partner on this one. And I just felt like, I mean, just like we said, being so far away, I thought, my goodness, to have partners on the boots on the ground right there, then we don't need to go there so often. And if we're worried about it and we just want somebody driving by it, well, they're right there and they're, you know, driving, you know, out in the market all the time. So that was really neat and definitely helped us feel much more comfortable about it. And then even, you know, our kind of new business partner, James, who is our director of operations, he's from that area and his parents still live in that area. So he's going back up there, you know, I'd say at least once a month to visit his parents and stuff. So it was like, well, okay, well, he's going to be going up there anyway, so we can see it. But also like he knows the area really well.
Right.
So that was just, again, kind of a unique thing that like, wow, how could we, like, I never would have thought we'd find something up there. And the fact that James is from there and we've got these other four guys, just really neat how that all worked out. It, you know, I mean, this is going back two and a half years ago that I met these guys and that's about how long we've been friends with James too. And that he's been kind of coming along the business the last year. And so all these things, you know, you can kind of look back and say like, God is orchestrating all these steps and all these things coming together. And then this 96 unit hits and it's like, wow, it was all for, you know, that's part of why all this happened.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this was the first time that you partnered with anyone, especially for a raise.
Yeah.
So describe that, kind of the whys maybe and how it went. And then you can kind of get into the financing of just this property in general.
Yeah. Well, you know, these guys, they wanted to partner. And so when I took them the deal, they were, you know, just really excited about it. Loved the deal. And they made me feel even more confident about it. Cause they're like, this is a great location. Like people want to live here. This is the school they want to go to, stuff like that. And I knew they had all the connections up there for the contractors, the vendors, just stuff like that. I'm like, these guys could be a real benefit. And they had investors. They had people that wanted to invest. And so we had just raised, we raised $1.6 million for North Dayton. And this raise was going to be our biggest ever.
Right.
$2.25 million. The most we've ever done was $1.8 million. So this is, you know, $450,000 more than we've ever done in one raise. So that felt big. Now, we thought maybe we could do it. I thought maybe we could do it.
I was not nearly as confident in that.
I wasn't that confident either. So they had investors who, and it just made sense too. Like, if they have investors, their investors are probably going to be way more excited about this deal than our investors, because for our investors, they're like, whoa, that's a little bit far out there. Like, I don't know anything about Lima, and Lee, that's pretty far for you. Like, are you sure about that? And we didn't really have that many investors that felt that much like that, but their investors, it's like, oh, this is right in my backyard. Like, most people like to invest in their local area if they can. It feels comfortable to them. It feels like, oh, it's cool to own something right here. So we knew their investors would be excited about it. They felt like that too. So it just felt like the perfect opportunity, such a big raise. We had just raised. It's a tough time to raise capital right now. It's a very tough time to raise capital. And we've got these partners that are right there who have investors that are surely going to be really excited about this.
Yeah. So how did you guys structure the deal?
Yeah. So you don't give people equity based on how much they raise. So we kind of just decided on like how much equity each of us was going to get, knowing that they were going to raise probably about half and we were going to raise probably about half. And then they were going to have like a small role with just being the boots on the ground and knowing the contractors, really helping us a lot, especially with like unit renovations and bigger projects. But then Threefold, you know, we found the deal, we put the deal together, we put the financing together. We did everything to get the deal together and across the closing, across the finish line and get it closed. And then also we're going to be the operators. We're going to be the asset managers and we're going to be the property managers, and that's separate, but we are the asset managers. And so most of the equity goes. So, you know, we just split it up based on that.
Okay. And what about financing? You said there was seller financing involved. So what did that look like?
Yeah, the seller is just in a position where he's got some loans and he's got quite a bit of property and got some different portfolio loans and whatnot. So he had some debt on this property, but not that much. And so he was able to go to his bank and get them to agree to this seller financing loan that he came up with, where we put 20% down. So we pay him 20% of the purchase price, but then he financed the other 80% for us at 5%, which is just crazy. I mean, at the time rates were like over 8%, even up to 8.5%, you know, the 10-year and all that's come back a little bit. So maybe rates have gone down a little bit now, but we were over 8%. So 300 basis points better on interest rate, just incredible. He gave that to us for 3 years. So we're fixed at 5% for 3 years, interest only. Awesome. And then we have an opportunity to extend 12 months two times. So we could extend 12 months and then extend 12 more months. So we can get up to 5 years. Now our interest rate goes up to 7% in the year 4 and 5. So we're very confident we'll be able to refinance in the next 3 years. But if we can't, then that's our option. But really in these times, incredible loan that we got.
Okay. So talk about the property itself. What did you like about it? What were you concerned about? How did the inspection go?
It's a kind of a unique property, because when you think 96 units, you're probably thinking, you know, 8 or 10 buildings. But this is 24 quads. And they're all just little brick ranches. It really is. Yeah. It's like this, it's its own street. So it's already off of kind of a quiet street, but then it's just this little tiny dead end street with 12 quads on either side. So 24 buildings, 4 units in each. We own a property just like that. Northeast State. And then we call Wayndale Circle. And we love that property. When you've got just a little brick box, that's really good. I mean, maintenance wise, that's just something you want to own for a long time. They each have their own furnace, their own air conditioner, slope shingle roof. All the roofs were redone about 4 years ago. All the concrete sidewalks and approaches and all that, that was already done about a year and a half ago. So the parking lots and the little driveways off of the street needed some work. So we knew that was a big CapEx project. We knew a lot of furnaces, a lot of air conditioners were going to need replaced. And then we're just going to renovate a bunch of units. But that's what we like doing. We like going in and doing a few big CapEx projects at the beginning to make the whole property look better. But then we like just renovating units to let people go that are paying in the 600s for rent. Renovate the unit, bring people in paying in the 900s, you know, and even over 1,000. So,
all right. So give that a little bit of color, as you would say. What is your big business plan with this? Give some details about what you're going to do with this property.
Yeah, we So the fact that we're managing it is different. We think we can do a really good job of controlling expenses, which helps in cash flow, but also I think could help when we go to a bank or lender, you know, if we go agency and we go to refinance. But the big goal here is just to increase revenue. So, you know, the average rent at this property is 615, which is just incredibly low. It's 66% two beds, 33% one beds, and the two beds should be renting, you know, 900 and up. One bed should be renting probably 825 and up. And like I said, the average rent at the property is 615. So the plan is just to really push rent, you know, on lease renewals. We're going to be going up around $100 to start with. Again, when somebody moves out and a new person comes in, we're going up about $300. And so we want to renovate a bunch of units. We've got a big, and that's like, we did take 80% leverage, but we raised all of the CapEx capital. So we raised about, now I'm blanking, 675,000, I want to say. It's over 600,000 that we're going to have in our account to spend on unit renovations, the parking lot, some other stuff, like I said. And so it's just to really hit it hard for 3 years on renovating units and raising rent. The nice thing is, even though, you know, like I said, we're going to go in and on the lease renewals, we're going up $100, it's still incredibly affordable. So for the, and even 900, 800, I mean, I think most people listening to this, they know $900 for a two bed is incredibly, it's very affordable. Mm-hmm. Even in this area, it's affordable, and 800 for one bed. So we'll raise rent. It's still going to be affordable. So we think we can, you know, stay full and cash flow well while we're doing it. But we really want to increase the revenue, therefore increasing the net operating income of the property, therefore increasing the value of the property. And then in 3 years, do a cash out refinance, return a bunch of money to our investors, but stay in the deal. And then continue our plan with that cash out refinance. We'll put even more money in our account to do even more unit renovations and just keep taking it. And then hold it another 3 to 4 or 5 more years, and then refinance again or sell.
Right. Okay, great. So you decided to manage this one again in-house. So in your short amount of time of managing things in-house, what are some of the positives you've seen, not only for the business but and the residents, but also for the investors?
Yeah, I would just say we really just have such a close view, and we're just really right on top of everything that's happening. I mean, I think we were told by our property manager, who, you know, they manage over 10,000 units, and they told us we are very hands-on owners, and they always acted like they liked that. I don't know if they really did or not, but, you know, some signs said that they didn't, but we liked that, but it still was never anything really close to managing it ourselves. Right. I mean, we would, hey, what's going on? What's this expense? Why is this expense going up? Why is occupancy dipping? Why is, you know, and then they would give us, you know, the answer. But when you're managing yourself, like, you just know all that. It's all right there. It's all your people. You know, and we had a lot of guidance for them. Like, hey, we don't want to raise rent so much, but like, they still kind of have their own way of doing things. And suddenly they're really raising rent, and our occupancy is going way down. And it's like, didn't we talk about that? So yeah, you just don't have as much control. You don't have as much of a view into the guts of the system and what's going on. When you're managing yourself, I mean, we're in our property management software. We're seeing it all right there, real time, making all the decisions, like from the smallest decision to the biggest decision, we're making them all now. And so we just have a lot of control and a lot of understanding what's going on. We can make quick changes when necessary. We feel like we do things different as well. When you're managing yourself, you can really control your expenses. So that's good for us as a company. It's great for our residents. It's great for our investors, because if you can control your expenses, you don't have to push so hard for revenue. So you don't have to raise rent quite so much. You know, with third party, it always felt like our expenses were so much that like we kind of needed the revenue to go up. So we needed to push rent really hard, which is tough on the residents. And then they move out so much more often. So you're spending more money again. Now your expenses are going up again, because now you're turning so many units, your occupancy is dipping. So now actually we're hurting on revenue. And so it's not good for our investors. You know, it's not good for the residents, because we're pushing them so hard. So it just feels like when you bring property management in house, you can control it better. You can control your expenses, so you don't have to push so hard. Better for your residents, better for our occupancy, better for our company, better for our investors.
Right.
So that's what we've noticed so far. We'll see if that continues.
No, it's good. Okay, predicting the future.
Sure.
So you're looking to refinance in 3 years to get out of this deal. Can you explain that strategy in light of interest rates? And then also, would you recommend that strategy to anyone that's newer trying to get into this space?
Yeah. So it won't get us totally out of the deal, but out of the loan.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
That's what you meant. Yeah. So the strategy, I mean, he offered us a great 3-year loan, but for him, it's like, hey, this is, you know, he got his price. This is what's neat about seller financing. It can be a win-win where the seller says, well, I want to sell it for this. And the market says, well, interest rates are 8%. So there's no way anybody's paying that. And that's exactly where this guy found it. And he knew that. So he said, all right, well, then if there's the only way I'm going to get my price then is if I can give people their terms, right? Like that's what people say. I'll give you your price if you give me my terms. Well, my terms would just be a much lower interest rate that makes this price make sense. So he was willing to do that. It's also good for him because it spreads out his gains. So he can take a big chunk, that 20%, but then he can spread some out and take another chunk of profit 3 years later. So it can be good for him that way. And then obviously it's good for us because we can cash flow so much better and not pay so much to the bank in interest, which just feels like burning money because it's not going toward anything. So we can do much better. But, you know, he wants his money at some point. Like he doesn't want us to, you know, he doesn't want to leave all his money in there for 10 years. So for him, it's like, I want out in 3 years. Now, again, we do have those couple extensions, but they're expensive because he doesn't want to do that. He wants his money back in 3 years. So, you know, there's some risk in that. Like I said, I mean, we do have the extension, so there's not that much risk, but we want to be out in 3 years and that's can be tough. Now, we normally are able to do most of the repositioning in less than 2 years.
Right.
A year would be way too fast. If you think you're getting out in a year, I think it's way too fast. Even 2 years, like that feels like you better be hustling. And we do. And we've gotten it done on our properties before 2 years. And you know, that's why we sold a couple at 2 years because, you know, we were kind of done. This one's a pretty big one in that there's a lot of units that need renovated. So I think it's going to take over 2 years, but I would just be shocked if we hadn't done a huge part of our renovation and repositioning of the property in under 3 years, which means we're ready to refinance because when you do that, your value is much greater. So
makes sense.
We feel very good about it. And now at that point, yeah, where are interest rates going to be? Well, you know, I have no idea. My crystal ball personally says the interest rates are going lower, not higher. We did just get an inflation report today that surprised some people and that it's going down even more, which, you know, so yields drop because now people are betting that the Fed is not going to raise interest rates anymore. And people are actually still betting that they're going to lower interest rates next year. I'm in that camp. So I think we're going to have a great opportunity to refinance in the next, you know, couple years, if not even the next year. Now that would be too early for us, but I think, you know, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, I think interest rates are going to be down, because I don't think our government can afford high interest rates. That's why they went high so fast so that they can lower them again, because they're constantly refinancing. So every day that interest rates stay high, our Fed is refinancing their debt at higher interest rates and they can't afford to do that. So anyway, I think they're going to be down. If they're not, we are holding back a lot of cash. We have a lot of reserves already, but we're pulling, like we're not cash flowing to our investors as much as we could. We're not cash flowing to ourselves, like really any at all. We're pulling all that cash back. So we have a big war chest there just in case, you know, if you don't know what this is, like a cash in refinance would say, you know, okay, we want to refinance this loan. And the bank says, well, it's not worth what it was. So if you want that much in debt, you actually have to bring some money to the table. So we're actually setting ourselves up to be able to do that. Just, you know, taking all those worst case scenarios and say, how can we prepare for this? We feel like we're really preparing for it. We have 20% down. So if we go try to get another 80% LTV loan, well, that's all we need, even if the value hasn't changed at all, because that's all we owe him. So if the value has gone up quite a bit, which we're very confident that it will, well, then even if we refinance at a 70% LTV, we're still going to be able to pay off that 80% because 70% of a much higher number is the same as, you know, 80% of a lower number. So we just feel like there's a lot of ways we're protected. We think we're going to, you know, do really well with our refinance. But even if we don't, if a lot of those metrics don't line up the way we think they're going to, we have a lot of backstops, a lot of things to protect us. So if you can do all that, if you understand everything that can go wrong, then I do suggest this strategy. But you asked about a newbie.
Right.
You probably don't understand all that. I mean, this, you know, we've gotten, you know, 8 or 10 loans now, commercial loans. So we kind of start to understand this and in that process, I've gotten some really good relationships with lenders and mortgage brokers. So they've really helped me understand the process. So if you don't understand that yet, then no, I would not do this.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I'm all for the protection against those worst case scenarios.
Absolutely. So you got to do it.
Thank you for that. One question. This is kind of a new one for you, but when you were trying to raise for this, what you, the one thing that you have always told potential investors, but you were presenting also to these investors, is has the sponsor done what he says he's going to do already? Mm-hmm. And in light of that, how has this deal, how do you feel like this deal was the perfect representation of that, I guess, as far as kind of not selling it to the investors, but helping them understand why you're fully capable of this deal in the time that we are in?
Yeah, I feel like we've done this several times and we're doing this. So we just went full cycle for the first time on two deals. You know, they were a little bit smaller, 45 units and 47 units, but especially the 47 unit was a heavy value add. We renovated a ton of units, you know, redid the windows, the exterior, the interior, all this stuff. And we raised rent a ton, and it was, we got in a similar situation to what, you know, this property is. So feel like we did it there and went full cycle. And then I already mentioned the property that is so similar. It's 24 quads. This is 24 quads. That property, when we took over, literally the rent was, I'm not going to say it was 615 on average, cause that's this one, but it was darn near close. I mean, it was right there. And we felt like at the time we felt like the market rent was 825. Well, it happens to be, it went all the way up to 1,000. Now we feel like it's 950 at least. So very similar. Now on this one, you know, average rent 615, and we feel like the market rent, you know, on average is really close to 900.
Right.
That's where we feel like we're going to get to in 3 years. So, and at that property, so at Wayndale Circle, that other 96 unit with 24 quads, we have increased rent. You keep track of this too, but I think we're up $250.
Yep.
Yeah. So from like 600 to 850, somewhere around there, and going higher. Maybe we're closer to 860. I think maybe the most recent report. So 250. I mean, and we're not even expecting to move that much. So I was able to show our investors in the presentation, look what we've done at Wayndale Circle. We went up, I think we went up maybe 19% in year one and like 13% in year two, something like that. Like we're up, you know, 30 some percent, which, and actually I would say it's more than that. Cause if you take 250, into 600, you know, you're not quite to 50%, but you're getting pretty good. So maybe we're up 40%, and this December is 2 years. So we're up 40%. That's nowhere close to what we're projecting at this new property. So we're projecting, I think, maybe like 13% in year one, 11% in year two, maybe something like that. So 24% in 2 years, and we're hitting 40 on another property. Now, is rent climbing like it was the past few years? No, absolutely not. So again, that's why, you know, our projections, we're not saying we're going to do that again,
right?
But it's like, do you think we can do half of that? Yeah, I think we can, because it's the same setup. So yeah. Now, the thing we haven't done is we have not done a property up there. And again, that goes back to what we talked about with bringing on partners that have done, you know, multifamily and investment property up in that area. That was a big thing. It was like, that's the one piece of this that we haven't done, but the general partners as a whole have, because this part of the team over here, they have done it in that area. They're in that area, all that. So that was a nice to add that piece.
Right. Good stuff. Okay. Has anything surprised you about this property and owning it in the short time that you have?
No. So this was the first one, you know, when we took over North Dayton, it came with a property manager. Really he was like the maintenance tech, but he was kind of doing everything. And so it's been surprisingly easy working with him. He's been awesome, but this was the first time we're getting a lady who is kind of the property manager, the leasing agent, and then a guy who's the maintenance guy. So just double the amount of team members, and it's still just two, but again, it's just been surprisingly, I guess, to me, who never wanted to do property management, surprisingly kind of fun to work with them and build this out. I've, you know, James really does most of the property management work, and I'm really happy about that. But me, the parts I am involved in and seeing it, I really like it. I love that we're managing our own properties. I see the benefits of it, the fruits of our labor, how it benefits our residents, because we can just, I think we can do a better job for them, and then how it benefits our investors. It's been surprising to me how much just I've enjoyed it for our company and the work we're doing. And it's not been easy, but it's just going, I guess, better than I thought it might.
Yeah. That's awesome. I would agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
That's it.
Okay. That wasn't too bad.
Not too bad at all.
Thanks for joining me. Yeah. Hopefully, you know, I hope we don't do this again real soon. I always want to get more properties. You know, I was out the other day looking at a couple of them. Just one of them actually seems like it might be an opportunity.
Nope.
So we'll see, but
from us,
we need to take a break. We'll have to get an update. We are, you know, even if we don't do any acquisitions, it feels like we're going to, because December 1st, we're bringing in our other 95 unit.
Yeah.
And then January 1st, we're bringing in Wayndale Circle that we've been talking about, bringing them in-house in-house property management. So we're going from, you know, about 6 months ago, we were managing zero units.
Right.
And by January 1st, we're managing 351.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah, we're doing some acquisitions, whether we acquire a new property or not.
A lot going on.
That should be enough.
Threefold.
That should be enough for the rest of the year. So thanks for joining me, Hannah. Until next time, hope you guys enjoy this holiday season, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you for joining us for another great episode. I hope you'll take action on what you've learned today. If you enjoyed today's show, please consider leaving Lee a 5-star rating and review. And check him out on threefoldrei.com. Until next time, 1 Timothy 6:17.